I go straight to the business of the day. We're talking about discerning the voice of God. We began a series last week on how to hear from God. And tonight, we're talking about discerning the voice of God. Why is this serious? Why is this a serious subject? Why is this a subject we need to and ought to look into? Why should this be serious? My approach in this Bible study will not be systematic, but my approach will be expository. Expository. I wouldn't be jumping from all scriptures, and I will be expository on one text to expound the text. So that's my mode of operation. That's the modus operandi for this study this evening. So I want you to brace up, because what God will be communicating to us, it's a principle that will make you great in your walk with God. Why I mean great, it's an exposition of a principle that happens to be everlasting, you know? It's a principle, it's a guiding principle that governs the operations of God in both time and in eternity. What we'll be dissecting today, I resonate again, it's a guiding principle that governs the operations of God in both time and in eternity. So if you know this, oh, blessed are you, for you will be wise. If you know these things we are about to look at right now, you will be wise. I shared a testimony a few days ago. I shared a testimony, but actually the event happened about 2 months ago, and it's in relation to this message, discerning the voice of God. A sister by the name Oluwaseun from Lagos, Nigeria, messaged me, and she said to me, "Man of God, I want to get married. Please pray for the young man I want to marry so that God will bless him, so that God will prosper him, so that he will be financially favored, and then our wedding can take place." That's what Oluwaseun was saying to me. She was writing me on WhatsApp. But then I felt something in my spirit. I did not hear a voice. I must be honest. Some preachers may say, "Oh, I heard a voice and the voice thundered in my ear." But I did not hear a voice. But I perceived something in my spirit. I felt an imbalance in my spirit. Please listen very carefully. This is as much as a blessing as a Bible school can be. I want to confess to you. I felt an imbalance in my spirit, and because of that imbalance, I questioned the lady. "Has God said that this man is your husband?" She said, "Yes, God has said that." She had a voice, but I still felt that thing in my spirit, and I said, "I don't see God in this." No voice came. You know, when we are talking on how to hear from God on that first message, I talked about something. I said the matter of the inward witness is stronger than you hearing an audible voice. I tell you, the inward witness is a program that is much more applicable for sons. You're not getting, there is this evolving from the realm of childhood to sonship. The Bible said in Galatians 4 that a heir, as long as he remaineth a child, defareth not from a servant. I'm not saying sons don't hear the voice of God audibly, but the most profound, if you check on time and if you check ages that has passed and all of that, you will know that the most profound is the inward witness, the system of knowing that this is God, knowing beyond every doubt that this is God. Okay, I go straight to the story again. I said to her that this, I don't see God in this. To cut the long story short, the young lady entered a fast because of what I told her. For 3 days she could not eat after I talked to her. She was restless. And on the third day she messaged me saying, "Man of God, I have not eaten. Neither have I drunk anything for 3 days. I have been praying." I said, "Wow, What did God say to you? Because I told her that that marriage is not of God. Now, before I told her it is not of God, I asked her to tell me one or two things about the young man, and she told me about the life of the young man, and I saw the life of this guy is not consistent with the scriptures. Hear me, we are talking about discerning the voice of God. Please, I beg you, whether you're a pastor on this platform, because I know we have ministers here, and I honor your presence. There is something the Lord is going to communicate. Listen to me. So this sister, I investigated and interrogated her and realized that she happens not to have aligned herself with that young man in her own, by her own will, but there was an external force that was pushing her. She had a voice that said, go into this relationship, this guy is your husband. But now the guy violates principles of the scripture. How do I mean violates principle? Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, and Paul said something very, very important, and something that is one of the principles of one of the principles that governs we who are heirs of God's kingdom. This is a principle that governs us as subjects of the kingdom of God. And that is the fact that Paul, writing to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you can run there with me. You can run as fast as you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you read from verse 14 to 18, the scripture says, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Listen, be you not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does that imply? The yoking of a believer and unbeliever is going to be unequal because they are not same breed. Hear me? For what fellowship at righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion as light with darkness? Now, that matter of yoking, when we talk about yoking, I've been a farmer before. In years past, I've owned a farmland that we planted so many things. I hired the farmland. I planted many things, and I had animals that came to create ridges for me. You know, when you bring the animal, if it's a bull, it must be a bull and a bull. So this one is by the right, this one is by the left, and that thing is in their middle. And they use it to create ridges. Now imagine when you put a bull and you put a goat for them to make the ridges for you so that you can plant your seedlings. How can they walk in accordance? When the goat is thinking left, the cow is thinking right. How can they? It is unequal yoking. Are you getting the picture, please? That's a clear indication of unequal yoking. Unequal yoking. That's a unequal yoking. So, in this matter of yoking, you don't bring two animals that are not of the same kind and breed to work something. So, the scripture here implies that the believer and the unbeliever, they are not of the same breed. So, Paul is now saying, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you are with a believer, the yoking is equal. But if it is an unbeliever, it is unequal. Why is it unequal? Because you have a different belief system. The unbeliever believes he can go north, east, west, and south. But the believer in Christ believes that he can only go where the Lord says go. Are you seeing that? So if these two begin to yoke themselves, you see that it is unequal, because there will be a conflict in ideas, conflict in principles, conflict in desires, conflict in their locomotion. So it cannot work together. So based on these principles, now you see, if you read down from 14 to 18 of the 2 Corinthians 6, you will understand more. So I have lots of things to say, so I may not dwell in just here. But rather, let me read verse 15. It says, and what concord ascribes with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Are you seeing? What part has he that believeth in Christ with an infidel? An infidel is the man that has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. An infidel is a man that does not believe in Jesus. Because I was speaking with a friend of mine I knew many years ago while I was on campus. He was very close to me. And the day before yesterday, 2 days ago, I was writing him. Or rather, yesterday, early morning, I was writing him after our midnight prayers. And we were chatting on social media. And I found out that a young man does not believe anymore that Jesus died and rose again. He believes in humanism. He believes that man is just to live his life and just be morally good and upright. But he discards anything that has to do with the death and resurrection of the Christ. I really felt pity for my young friend that was so dear to me. I felt pity. So now, you see, myself and him, we will be unequally yoked if we are working together. If I have something to do with him, it should be strictly on. It should be strictly with the purpose of winning him to the Lord. Even if I do business with him, I should have in mind of winning him to the Lord. But let's say perhaps he's a woman and he's a sister, and I happen to be a brother like this, and I decide to get married to him. How will I now get married to a man to a woman that has not believed that Jesus died and resurrected when I believe that Jesus died and resurrected? How can we work together? Did not the scripture say in Amos 3:3 that two cannot work together save they be agreed? So how can we work together? How can it function? This is why marriages have failed today. This is why marriages have failed literally today, because there happens to be unequal yoking. The believing young man may be moved because of the contours of a young woman that is not really born again, and he goes into the marriage, and now they happen to be unequally yoked. So, it will not work that way. I go back to the story of that young girl, Oluwaseyun. It happened that the young man is not born again. He does not have the fruit of the Spirit, and he shows many fruits that portrays an infidel or an unbeliever, if I use that word. And after all said and done, the Lord used me to deliver that young lady from that relationship, because after that, even though they were planning on their marriage, it took that fasting she encountered, she engaged in the process of that fasting. The Lord exposed many things to her, how that she saw the young man's phone and saw that the young man had about 2 other ladies that he was going out to it, inclusive of her, making it 3. Are you seeing? Deceiving all of them, clashing their heads together. So God exposed the young man, and that's what the girl would have actually gotten herself into. Probably she could have been among this breed of people that marry and before 365 days clocks, they are separated. That's not our portion in the name of Jesus. So I'm talking about discerning the voice of God. I've showed us a principle that has to do with unequal yoking. Unequal yoking. You don't unequally yoke yourself, especially in a union such as marriage. Discerning the voice of God. Now, as I've explained this scripture to you, how can it now help you to discern the voice of God? Just as I've explained the scripture, now how can this be profitable? Because I want us to be practical. I've talked about unequal yoking. Now, how can this unequal yoking help you to discern the voice of God? Look at how it can help you. Practical. God, for instance, says to you, this is my word, and you have read this word, and this is coming from God. Now that you have known that this is coming from God, Now that you've known that this is coming from God, how does it now apply? Now look at this case. A voice by 12 midnight echoes in the heavens and says, my daughter Martha, you are going to marry a man and his name is called Joseph. And Martha is already married. Get this. Martha is already married. And the voice says, Martha, 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 how many times have I called you? You say 3 times, my Lord. You say, go, your husband is in the east of Botswana. Him alone you shall marry. I am your Lord. Now, if you happen to be already married and a voice says that to you, no matter how audible that voice is, know that that voice is of the devil. Why? Let me show you why. Let's go to the book of Psalms. We are going to our focus for the day. Psalms 92 verse 15. Psalms 92 verse 15. Get there with me. Journey with me. Psalm 92 verse 15. See what the scripture says. To show the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Are you seeing that? There is no unrighteousness with him. So, this is a guiding principle for knowing the voice of God. If the voice says to you, go and marry another man, while you are already married, that is a picture of unrighteousness. And the scripture says there is no unrighteousness with God. So therefore, that voice being weighed in the scale cannot pass the fire. It will be burnt because it cannot pass that litmus test of what we've just described now. God does not walk righteousness with unrighteousness. God will not walk righteousness with unrighteousness. In discerning the voice of God, God cannot send you to kill someone in order for you to be free from something. Now, the killing is an act of unrighteousness. So God cannot use that act of unrighteousness, even though you had a voice, it will not be of God. For you to know it is not of God is because it is not consistent with scriptures. Where the scripture says, thou shalt not kill. And the voice says, go and kill for your faith. You know that this is not of God. What's the emphasis for tonight? The emphasis is, there is no unrighteousness in him. In order for you to successfully discern the voice of God, God cannot tell you to leave the husband that married you and is in the house and tells you, go yonder, go and get married to another man. God does not work that way. He will not violate the scriptures. The scriptures testifies of him. If you're following, let me see you say, I'm following. Let me know that we are not speaking to the wind. So in the discerning of the voice of God, you must know some guiding principles. And that is the fact that God will not walk righteousness with unrighteousness. Never ever forget. God will not ever walk righteousness with unrighteousness. Okay, let's take for instance, look at the man Abraham, the patriarch, the colossus, if I must use that word. God said to Abraham, from your house, it will not be Eliezer that will be the heir, but from your loins I will bring forth a heir. Now, Sarah was to produce that heir, but Hagar happened to give birth first. Now, Sarah was the one that took Abraham to Hagar, her maid. And Abraham entered into Hagar, and Hagar produced a seed that is both a trouble to Isaac till today. That seed is a trouble to Isaac. That seed represents the Mount Edom. It represents the Mount of Bondage. Why? Isaac represents Zion. Now look at what I'm trying to speak here now. Because Abraham was trying to help God, his wife ended up giving him her maid, and Abraham entering her maid produced something that was to be a curse to his
generations yet unborn. Yes, because the Ishmaelites till today, they are a curse to the children of the free woman. They are a curse till today. Yes, they are the ones you find to be terrorists today, bombing everywhere in the name of their God and all such. Wasn't it that Abraham was trying to help God? Are you seeing that? He was trying to enter his maid in order to give birth to the promise. Now, it's a picture of you today trying to do wrong in order to produce that which is right. Do you know what you produce? You produce ISIS. You produce Boko Haram. You produce Al Qaeda. You produce Hamas. You produce terror squads that will terrorize your destiny tomorrow. You don't work righteousness with unrighteousness, because there is no unrighteousness in God. Get this clear. It's a guiding principle. It's a way to discern the voice of God. The voice of God will not lead you to evil. The voice of God will not lead you to do that which is wrong. I know a couple of young girls that it happens that the pastor they are with, because of the glamour, because of the fame, because of the power and all of, and the oratory of the preacher, they get overwhelmed and give themselves to the preacher. And the preacher ends up sleeping with some of these young ladies. This is not a joke. This is happening today in the body of Christ. The preacher ends up sleeping with some of those girls and promises them eternal life. Promises them that what they are doing is still okay, that God is not angry as long as we are God's children, you know? That as long as they are God's children, God understands that it is just a weakness, but and they are still the righteousness of God in him, you know? I was speaking to a particular young preacher many years ago, many years ago, and he told me that if a believer is on top, if a believing young man is on top of a lady, for instance, and he has confessed Jesus before, and now he's in the act of fornication and dies in that act of fornication on top of the girl, that he still will not miss heaven. He's still going to make heaven. And that God will say, that's my righteous son fornicating. That's the exact word the preacher used. He said, that is my righteous son fornicating. Get the picture. Now, you see, God will not walk righteousness with unrighteousness. God will not lead you to sin. He can allow you to go through the wilderness of temptations and trials and all of that, but he will not lead you to sin. Because Matthew 1:21 said, for this purpose, he said, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And what will he do? He will save his people from their sin. He will not leave them in their sin, but he will deliver them from their sin. Matthew 1:21. So anything that is now sponsoring the believer to continue in his sin and encourages him to continue in that is not consistent with the voice of God. You know, another voice is speaking. So I'm saying this today because there are lots of young girls that have security today, following young preachers also, who are having sexual immorality with them and still promising them that they have not committed a sin that God understands. God does not understand that. That is unrighteousness. And that is damnable. That is damnable. God does not work righteousness with unrighteousness. After this study today, after listening to this broadcast, I tell you the truth, this word is going to be eternal in your spirit. You will never forget. In anything you're doing, you will always know at the back of your mind, even at the front of your mind, that God will not work righteousness with unrighteousness, because there is no righteousness in him. There is no unrighteousness in him. For instance, a sister called me before this Bible study, few minutes before the Bible study, not up to an hour, and we were talking on the phone, and the sister passed up an information to me, saying a particular young man that prophecy had gone ahead that was to marry her and could have married her. Somebody was now telling the young man today is married to another person and happens to have been, it is now evident that the young man made a mistake in marrying the person is not supposed to marry. Now that he has married, the person is not supposed to marry. He's having clashes in his marriage now. But then somebody is now telling this our sister that, you see, that God can still be preparing this young man for you because he's now separated from his wife, God can be preparing him for you for marriage. Are you getting? There was not even a case of fornication that caused the separation. It was not even a case of fornication. Even though in my understanding of the scriptures, I don't believe that fornication is enough to separate believers. I don't think it's enough. I believe that a man that has pledged himself to marry a woman, I believe that the two become one forever and only death can separate them. That's my stand by scripture. You know, some people believe that it is only fornication that can separate them because of some things they read in Matthew's gospel. Now, but what I'm trying to say is that this our sister, it was now said to her that, okay, the Lord might be leading you to this young man so that you can marry the young man. How can it be the Lord? Now, I was talking to the sister. I'm trying to bring this as a lesson. And I was telling her that, you see, one principle you must know in discerning the voice of God is that God will not work righteousness with unrighteousness. How can God be leading and yet that man is in sin and that young man is still married before God and yet God wants to join him to you? That is inconsistent with scripture and that cannot be from God. So with this understanding, you see, it saves you from some prayer and fastings. Yeah, there are some things, I'm sorry to say, you don't even pray about. There are some things you don't fast about. There are many things you need to pray and fast about, but there are some things you don't need to pray and fast about that you know by principles. Get me? Are we together? There are some things you know by principles that it is not something of prayer and fasting. You just know it because the scripture has already settled it. Scripture has already settled it. For instance, someone now is close to me and is coming to you as a sister and telling you that God says you are going to be his wife. That is, and the person is married and the person is now saying that, and God is saying his present wife is not supposed to be his wife. Therefore, let him separate from her and come and marry you. If that person said it is God, tell the person it is dog, not God. It is dog speaking, spirit of lust, dog spirit, not God spirit. Know the difference. It is lust driving the young man, because the way he treats that his previous wife, if you give yourself to him, he's going to treat you in that way again. So you don't need to start doing vigils and say, oh God, is this you? Oh God, is this going to be my husband? Have you said he's going to separate from his wife and be joined? You are praying in vain, wasting prayer energy. You'll be praying in vain, wasting prayer energy. Wasting prayer energy. There are some prayers you pray that you are not supposed to pray. There are many prayers you are supposed to be praying that you are not praying. So in discerning the voice of God, you must know the guiding principles that governs the operations of God in both time and in eternity. Let this sink. The voice of God is clear. The voice of God is righteous. In discerning the voice of God, when we are talking about the voice of God, please, I know why I'm coming in this dimension. The voice of God must not be audible as you are hearing me now. The voice of God will come as a knowing. It can come in a dream. It can come whilst you are reading the Bible. It can come while the preacher, like as I'm talking to you now, it can come while the preacher is speaking the inspired word of God. And then, few times it can come as an audible voice. But they are all the voice of God. Discerning the voice of God. Discerning the voice of God. What does the word discern mean? What does the word discern mean? To discern means to detect, to recognize, to know. To discern is to recognize, to detect. So how do you detect that this is the voice of God? You know that thing? If it is the voice of God, it will be consistent with scriptures. Are we together? It will be consistent with scriptures. The things I'm saying to you, for you to know whether it's the voice of God or not, you need to also search scriptures and see if it is in harmony with scriptures. Then you know that, okay, this is God. because there is no unrighteousness with him. There is no unrighteousness with him. So we must know this, and this alone will save us from scars. This will save us from unnecessary battles. This will save us from unnecessary battles. This will save us from unnecessary battles. By the grace of God, that young lady I was talking about, Olua, saying God used me to scatter that marriage that could have been and should never have been. Get me clear. Their marriage well could have taken place. I would have gone in a hurry and be praying, oh, may the Lord bless that young man. May the Lord favor him, as you have said. May God favor him. Oh, the Lord is going to favor him. I prophesy favor. I don't do that. I must confess to you, a majority of people that ask me to pray for them online, I don't pray for them. A majority. It's only few that I pray. There are many that I give principles and let them run with those principles. I don't pray for every case. It's not everything I pray for. Matter of fact, I have a case right now, few hours before I came for this study. A particular sister she presented three young men to me, and I said, which of these is going to be her husband that I should pray? This and that. I felt in my spirit that I should ask her this question. I said, how many of them have you fornicated with? The lady said, two. Can you count how many times? No, she has fornicated severally with them. And now this is something she's saying I should pray for. I don't spend prayer in everything, please. I value my time with God. I don't waste prayer, please. I don't waste it. You are giving yourself to them. You are already marrying yourself to them. So what should I be praying? Should I be blessing your immorality? Should I be blessing your unrighteousness? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Do you know that there are things that, even as a gospel minister, that God will not permit you to pray for? Yes. There are some things that you want to pray, God will say, shut up, don't pray. I've experienced it. I've experienced cases where I want to pray, the Lord will, it will be clear to me, shut your mouth. I will not mention that thing again to God. I will stop the prayer. Don't you look at your earthly father. You think it's everything you come to your earthly father to speak? There are some things you want to say with your father. Your father will say, shut up. Don't say that. You shut up. Case closed. Case closed. Case closed. Okay. You can discern the voice of God by waiting on God. You can discern the voice of God by waiting on God. A few years ago, I shared this experience. Before I got married, I saw a beautiful damsel. I liked her as a man, and I desired a wife, and I looked at her. I said, is this marriable? And I went to a prayer camp, and I was trusting God. While in the place of prayer, I was praying, and the Lord said, shut up. Don't mention the name of that girl in this prayer camp until you leave. Wow. It was clear to me, and I did not mention her name again until I left the prayer camp. Yes, I obeyed. But guess what? A day before I left the prayer camp, I saw someone in my vision because I was waiting on God. So God opened his voice to me. He opened the truth to me. So I saw the young lady naked and her belly was protruded. Her stomach was as unto someone that was pregnant. So all of a sudden the stomach disappeared. And I understood that vision that it means abortion. I asked the lady, wow, how many times have you done abortion? That is a young lady. How many times have you done abortion? She counted the number of times. Now, when she counted the number of times, please, I'm not trying to bedevil you if you have ever committed abortion before. No, I'm not bedeviling you. I'm not condemning you. Once you have repented of it, God is forgiving you and the sin is past. But then God told me that this young lady is not fit for the assignment I have given to you and she is not repented yet. She is not converted yet. I asked the lady, when was the last abortion? She said, just last month. I said, my Jesus, that's how God saved me. Now, even after that, when I separated, when I went my way, matter of fact, I didn't even ask her out. I was just trying to know from God whether I should. Are you getting me? Now, even after I ran far from her, she still continued in her abortions, still going in that way. Now, how did I secure God's voice
and not end up in that relationship. It was because I waited on God. You know, I discerned the voice of God by waiting on God. You can discern the voice of God by principles, by knowing scriptural principles. There are some places that the knowing of scriptural principles may not be able to help you in that matter. In such matters, you need to wait on God. There's a one of waiting on God, and in that waiting on God, you secure the mind of God over that situation. Am I talking to a people here? If you are receiving what is being communicated, say I hear. Let me know those who are reasoning together with me. Now, the young lady, after I separated from her, she continued. Till today, as I'm speaking to you, till today, the girl is not born again. Till today. I see her almost nude pictures online. Unlike before. It's like she's degenerating. Imagine if I did not wait on God to secure the voice of God. Huh? So I will now marry someone that would deplete the anointing of God upon my life and send me back to Babylon? God forbid. God forbid. If you don't learn how to discern the voice of God and to secure the voice of God for your life and destiny, you will enter trouble. Hear me? You will enter trouble if you don't know how. You know this by principles. Scriptural principles. What does the scripture say? And anything scripture says, you know that the God we serve does not work righteousness with unrighteousness. And then after knowing what scripture says, another thing you need to know is that you need to learn how to wait on God. In that waiting on God, you steel your mind. You can shut down every earthly activity. You can shut down in order to hear what God is saying. Because the world is a noisy climate. The climate we have today is noisy. And you cannot hear the voice of God accurately in this climate. So when you seclude yourself to hear from the Father, you begin to pray. The Father can just come to you and give you a dream that in that dream you know that this dream is a dream of God. It's not without doubt. There are some dreams that God will bring to you and you know that this dream is a dream of God. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to discern His voice. The Lord help us to discern His voice, because if we can accurately discern the voice of God, we will be delivered from many a problem. We will be delivered from many a trouble. What is the mind of God for that thing you want to engage in? For instance, let me give you an instance. You are here and you are a businesswoman and you happen to sell drinks and you are trying to ask God, Lord, should I add beer in my sales? Should I also be selling alcohol? You are asking God, say, Lord, for this business, should I also be selling alcohol? A voice can come to you and say, my daughter, sell alcohol because you are foolish. Well, see what I mean? You are asking God if you can start selling beer so that people will be drinking beer and getting drunk in your shop. You're asking God if you can be doing something that will be helping Satan take the glory. How can God give you something that will help Satan to take the glory? God forbid. God does not work righteousness with unrighteousness. A principle. You don't need to pray whether God should involve you in a business that will be helping people to get drunk and misbehaving. That cannot be God. God will not work like that. A preacher of a great status with mega churches, the devil enters in all of a sudden. And he sees a little girl. I don't know why I'm coming in this way, but I sense prophetically there is someone here present. There's someone here, a sister. I think after this meeting, you are going to speak this in confirmation to me. There is a sister here. I don't know. The devil deceived her in this line with someone that happens to be a preacher, you know, doing indecent things with her and assuring her that God is not angry, that God is still involved in the matter. I don't know who that person is, but I don't know whether that person will be hearing this message, but The voice of the Lord is saying, I don't walk righteousness with unrighteousness. And the voice of God is consistent with the principles of God. Get this clear and know this for your life. Know this for your destiny. Know this for your future. Know this. Now, the analogy I'm trying to give, say a notable person, he's trying to tell you because of his fame in the Christian world, saying that God is saying, even though I'm married, you are going to be my little girlfriend. He's telling you the young girl that you are going to be his little girlfriend, you know, that God understands that he is God's servant and he has reached a stage where he can no more offend God. You see, when such a case happens to you, you see someone, it's a case of someone that is going to hell and looking for you to escort him to hell. If you must discern the voice of God, you must know the principles of God, thus you must know scriptures. You must know what? Scriptures. For instance, a demon appears to you and say, you, in 7 days, you will die. What? And the demon is saying to you that in 7 days you will die. God says in 7 days you will die. And that's a demon speaking. What is the promise of God? It says you will live and not die, but live to declare the voice of God. So you don't need to start running to God and say, oh Lord, in 7 days will I die. No. You say, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Yes. You don't argue with that. You declare those promises of God. You hold on to it and you walk in that reality. If you learn how to discern the voice of God, I've just brought up two keys in discerning the voice of God. The first key I brought up is to know scriptural principles. And that principle is that God does not work righteousness with unrighteousness. God cannot use bad to bless evil. And then, the art of waiting on God in order to secure the mind of God. This is very important. This is very necessary. I resonate again. Abraham entered into Hagar and secured the problem for his generation. There are many cases of people today that may want to use something evil to help something that is right. Could that be God? Now, I want to shock you. Do you know that in Nigeria today, there are lots of young prophets? Not just Nigeria, Africa. There are lots of young prophets today. I know so many of them. Young prophets that are very famous today and are using charms to grow their ministry. And they believe that by their act of charity, they give money to the poor, they feed widows, they clothe the naked and all of that. They do all these good things. And they believe that by the act of their goodness, by the act of their charity, their worship of another God that gives them power in order to run the Christian ministry, they believe that their charity is going to cover the sin of their idolatry. They believe that the charity they do is going to cover the sin of their demonism and satanism. They use evil spirits to grow a church. They do all of these things to gather people. And they believe that in the end, God will accept them in because they minister to the poor, because they minister to the widow and all of this. Now, if you watch by principles, can that actually be applicable? No, God does not work righteousness with unrighteousness. Psalm 92, we read, says clearly that in verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. There is no. There is no unrighteousness with him. That's a principle. That's a guiding principle. Because this is a Bible study, if you have a question, at the comment section, signify, then I will unmute you for you to ask your question while I answer. I've just brought up two key points on discerning the voice of God. If you know these things, if you know scriptures and principles guiding the scriptures, you will not be tossed to and fro. Myself cannot even deceive you. Myself cannot deceive you. I cannot tell you, thus says the Lord, go to your husband's account. Take all the money from your husband's account. I have a crusade coming up. Use the money. Sponsor my crusade and you will be blessed. If I say such, you know that that is unrighteous, because you go into your husband's account, it is wrong. So, if I now tell you that that is God speaking, you know that that is not God, that is actually my belly speaking. You know that's the belly of the preacher. Yes. These are principles. You don't need to pray and know whether it is God. Oh, Lord, are you the one that spoke to this servant of God? That I should go to my husband's account, clear his account, and come and sponsor a crusade. That is madness. God cannot do that. God cannot do that. God will not do that. Any of you that has a question, I'll receive your questions. If you signify the comment section, then I'll unmute you to hear your question so we answer. Talking about discerning the voice of God. To discern means to detect. To detect is to know. To know, to understand the voice of God. The voice of God. Because if we understand the voice of God in our generation, error will reduce. Sponsoring satanic ministries will reduce. Because the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is dangerous. If you lack the knowledge of God's word, you will lack understanding of God's principles. You will lack understanding of God's ways. So when you equip yourself with God's word, you know God the more. God is found in his word. The more you know his word, the more you know God. If you want to know God, know his word. So God says that my name, my word, between these two, he said, I have honored my word above all my name. So the word of God has been honored. It's been exalted. The word of God. The word of God is eternal. It's eternal. So we need to know it. When we know it, the principles behind the word guides us to know when God is speaking. I tell you the truth. I may not be so advanced in age, but in terms of things like this, I would say I've been able to exercise my senses as one that has come of age. My spiritual senses. You cannot deceive me. Say it again. You cannot deceive me. No matter how exalted you are in the ministry, no matter how popular you are in the ministry, you cannot deceive me. With thus says the Lord, this, that, that. I've had several. Okay, let me give you an instance. One of the days I was in the church. When service was about to close, my assistant came to me and said, man of God, a woman wants to see you. I said, okay, what does she want to see me for? Service has not ended and she wants to see me. Let her wait till service ends. Now, service ended. The woman came to my office. I was speaking to this woman. She said to me that thus says the Lord that I should allow her to come on my altar and preach, that he has given her a message to come to my altar and preach that I must accept. I say, wow. I say, is that what your God told you? I don't know you. And he said, your God told you that you must come to my altar and preach a particular message. I said, okay, wow. I humbled myself. I said, let me hear your message. Let me hear the message you want to preach.
The woman began talking several astral encounters. How God began to flog her and beat her and say she must answer a call. She was showing me injuries in her body, that God gave her those injuries. Look at the injury. Look at this. It is God. He said I must answer. Sometimes he will carry me, hit me on the ground. I say, wow. Is that the message? Say, yes. The message is, look at it. It's actually a message of repentance. But the fruits accompany that message she says she has is not consistent with God. It's not consistent with God. How can God be touching a woman being like that, saying he wants you to answer a call? Which call? Which call? God does not violate the will of man. God does not violate the will of man. There is no man God will put a gun at his neck and say you must be born again or I shoot you. No! God allows your free will. He respects your free will. That's why he allowed Adam and Eve to stay in the Garden of Eden, and the fruit of the from the tree of knowledge was still there. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was still there. God respects the free will of man. God said, okay, let me allow this thing to know whether that man will either choose me or not choose me. So we are not robots. God did not create us to be robots. We have free will. Angels likewise have free will. That's why they were thought of the angels that rebelled. God cast them out. If angels didn't have free will, God would not have had them rebel. God did not create angels to be robots. We used to believe that the angels were robots, but not so. Angels have free will. They can either do good or right. The Bible said the angels that did not retain their first estate, he has bound in everlasting chains. Listen, if they don't have free will, they would not have been able to rebel Elohim. That is the truth. So we are agents with free will. God has created each and every one of us with free will. So I looked at the woman. I said, preach this message to me that you want. You said your God told you to come and preach to my congregation. I listened to the message. I felt like crying. I said, Mother, the God I serve has not confirmed what you are saying to me. So I don't know the one that sent you, but the one that I'm walking with as well. All of a sudden, the woman got angry. She got angry. Began to tell me some words that look like threat. That am I rejecting God? I don't need to pray. I don't need to go and pray and say, Lord, have you sent her? No, no, no. No. Look at this. I will either know by the inward witness. There will be this thing inside my spirit that will bear witness. He said, the spirit of God, we have received him. He said, and the spirit of sonship in us cries, Abba, Father. So when we hear the voice of Abba, we recognize his voice. The spirit of adoption in us that cries, Abba, Father. According to Galatians 4. So with that spirit, we know when Abba, Father is speaking. Now, apart from that knowing, which I talked about in our last meeting on how to hear from God, there is also the one of principles. If I don't use the one of knowing, I use the one of principles. This thing, this one is saying, is not consistent with scriptures. Okay, if God wants you to go and preach, what about the market? I told her, please, there is market. There are many souls in the market, and you want to leave all the souls in the market and come to my congregation. Do you know there are more souls in the market than my congregation? Go to the market and preach. Go there and preach. That's it. That's it. So if I don't know by knowing, through the inward witness, there is a place for me to know true principles of the scriptures. Are you getting? Then if I don't know true principles of the scriptures, there is a place also for me to know through waiting on God. But now I don't need to go and waste my time waiting on God on that matter. When it violates the principles of scriptures. When it violates the principles of scriptures. When my inward witness does not confirm her request. What happened last Friday has happened today again. We are behind time, 5 more minutes. We continue next week. Please, this is a teaching of life. This is a teaching of life. I don't know who you are, but the tidings you are hearing now can be able to accelerate your walk with God. Do I have witnesses here? Can be able to accelerate your walk with God. Can be able to make you more consistent with God. So, we're just going to raise a prayer cry now and ask the Lord. And say, Lord, help me to discern your voice.
Help me, Jesus, to discern your voice. Help me to be able to discern your voice. This is a message that breeds maturity. A message that can make you mature unto sonship. Mature unto sonship, where you are no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Where you are no more tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro. Talk to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me to be able to discern your voice. In the name of Jesus. Raise a cry to God. Raise a cry to Him. Help us to be able to discern your voice. Speak to God now. Speak to Him. Speak to Him. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. There is no unrighteousness with God. There is no unrighteousness. If there is unrighteousness, then it is not God. If there is unrighteousness, it is not Elohim. It is not Him. Unto thee that heareth prayer shall all flesh come. We ask you today to help us to discern your
That the Lord will help you to be able to discern His voice from today. The Lord, because you have heard this tidings, because you have heard this utterance, the Lord will help you to be able to discern His voice, to know that which is right from that which is wrong. The Lord will help you to be able to discern His voice, to know that which is right from that which is wrong, in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord help us to be able to discern His voice. Help us to be a people that can discern your voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture. May your voice not be alien to us. May we know your voice. May we subscribe to your voice in the name of the resurrected Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, Father.
God, through His servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703-246-9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking us numberless as assigned by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.